But if I'm hearing what God's saying, that means that I don't have to stick with the limits that somebody else puts on my income. And those of you that are business people out here, some of you didn't have a business plan or any idea you're a business person. But when I said that, a sword pierced your spirit and you said, what was that? And the Lord's saying, that's you. That's me picking you. How about if you start walking towards it and seeing what God blesses? But don't you dare forget that there's a portion of it that belongs to Him. He wants to be remembered in that. He could ask for the 90 and give you the 10. But instead, He says, I want the tithe because I am going to take all of the iniquity in your life, in the lives of those people that are supplying you, in the lives of the people around you, and the land that you live on. I'm going to put it on that, and I'm taking the curse off your money. And I'm... I'm going to tell you right now, there's a couple of people in here that have over $10,000 worth of debt. You don't know how you're going to pay it. If you will go by what I'm saying today and start tithing into the house you belong to, you're going to pay that off within a year. You watch what God says. Now what, so who is someone that transcends? Well, they are transcendent. Let's see what that means. Transcendent means surpassing others, or it means to be preeminent or supreme. We sing a song at our church. Matter of fact, it's my song. I get to sing it. When you walk into the room, everything changes. And darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. What happens when you walk in the room? Colossians 1 and 26, the mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but is now made manifest to the Gentiles through us. And that mystery revealed is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So when Christ walks into the room in me, everything's going to change, honey. Because His anointing is in me, His anointing is with me, His presence is on me, and it's going to shift the atmosphere. And I don't care if the devil just played a 10-song gig before I got there. I'm going to have their attention for the kingdom of God.
Amen, amen.
Man, what in the world what business do we have of being afraid of the devil or worried about what he's going to do? He's going to do what he's going to do, but if he does it in front of me and interrupts the purposes of the kingdom of God, guess what? See, you don't go picking fights with him, but if he gets in your way, that's what my niece attended University of Arkansas, and she one of her specialties was linguistics. She was learning Spanish, and then she wound up serving in Africa. Ironically, Africa has one nation that speaks Spanish as its a native language, but she emailed me one day, and she said, Uncle Kent, I have a question to ask you. My mom said that probably you were the one to talk to, because of all the kids in my family, I was the one that had demonic, you know, interruptions in my life, and they were largely of my own doing. But I'm just telling you, man. I was 17 years old when I heard Stairway to Heaven played backwards, and I had been flirting with disaster. I hung with people that were rough crowds, cocaine dealers, and, you know, they were the ones that used to weigh out those mushrooms, you know, and sell. Yuck, man. I never did all that stuff, but I hung out with them because I thought they were cool. And I let that spirit get around me, man. I was a violent man, and I would fight at the drop of a hat, and I'd drop the hat before you could, you know? I was just, I really wasn't mean, but I thought I was, you know? And so I loved Led Zeppelin. I loved AC/DC. I loved, you know, all of these different hard bands, some heavy metal bands. And somebody gave me this tape of a guy playing Stairway to Heaven backwards. And I heard a demon's voice in there. If you've never heard it, if you don't even know who Led Zeppelin is, don't worry about it. But I heard a demon's voice in there because they did not use a separate track to record it backwards. It was the words of the song themselves that said this backwards. But backwards where it says, yes, there's a spring clean for the make, or yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. And they're saying it kind of flippantly. When you turn it around backwards, it says, my sweet Satan, the one who makes me sad will be the sad one. His power is Satan. He will give you 666. I felt like someone had just slapped me as hard as they could, right full in the face. And terror ran all over me because I realized that I had been playing with the devil. That night, I was laying in my bed trying to go to sleep because if you lay under the covers, Bill Cosby said that the monsters can't get you under the covers, you know. He said his monsters told him, that's all right, kid, you got to breathe sometime. You know, I was laying there and I heard something and I looked up and I'd never met him in my life, but I knew it was Lucifer standing at the foot of my bed and he screamed at me. He was mad. He was furious. And the reason looking back now as a man of God, I can see why he was furious because he could see my pendulum had already swung hard back to the Lord. But he was trying to convince me that it hadn't. And he screamed at me. He said, you're mine! You're mine! You can't get away from me! You gave it! I mean, he was saying horrible things to me. And I was my bedroom was shaped, you know, with four walls, obviously, but there was a door, and it wasn't in an accessible place from my bed. It was at the foot of my bed at the corner of the room. Whoever built that house needed their head examined. But I was just laying there, petrified, and then I started saying, Jesus, 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 and he started backing away from me. And I realized that I had an opportunity to get to the one place that was safe, and that was upstairs where Mom was. I ran upstairs, and I stayed on that couch all night long. I never saw him again, but I gave my heart back to the Lord that week because I realized what I had been doing. And since there's ministers here, I'm going to tell you why that happened to me. It was my fault because I was old enough to make my own decisions. But I was a young man. And as a young man, I had gone through the hormonal changes and I was having to shave every day. Well, I thought, man, I want to see what those things look like out there about an inch, you know. And so I grew a beard. And I was in a United Pentecostal church. They did not believe in men wearing beards at all. They were total alarmists in that if they saw anybody doing anything wrong, whatever they wore at the time and whatever they looked like at the time must be a sin. That's the way they saw it. And so any of you been in churches like that? That's terrible. It's terrible. So I had grown this beard. I was serving the Lord, giving him everything I got, testifying at school, preaching. I had a world religions class and I gave a presentation. When I got done, they said, whoa, good preaching, Brown. I didn't even know I was preaching. I just gave this presentation, you know. I grew that beard and I walked into church one day and my pastor said, hey, Kent, can I talk to you for a moment? He pulled me over at the side and he said, I want to talk to you about your soul. He said, I think you're slipping a little bit and I think you're in danger of backsliding. And I was shocked. I said, Pastor, I'm doing good. And he reached up and he grabbed my beard and yanked it. And he said, no, you're not. It was like someone had stung me with a branding iron, offended me. Beyond, because he obviously didn't know me, or he would have known where my heart was. And from that point, I began to decline, and I began to go to places that did accept me. You know, we used to call the druggies the heads. The heads didn't care what I did. They didn't care if I talked about Jesus. Hey, man, that's cool. Hey, dude, man. Talk about Jesus again. I got goosebumps when you did that last time, man. And I wanted to give that as a warning to those of you that are pastors. And I don't think that of any of y'all. But remember that the young lives that you've got in your hands matter to God. What your personal preferences are don't matter too much to God. I'm going to tell you that again. What your personal preferences are. I do not like hip hop, but that doesn't matter to God. My son loves it. And so when he says, Dad, you got to hear this song. You know what I do? I listen to it because it matters to him. Influence is the name of the game, pastors. If we've got influence in people's lives, we have power in their lives. If we don't have influence, we don't have nothing. Thank God he scared the hell out of me that night. I mean it. That's what he did. He scared the hell right back out of me. It was gone. You thought I was cussing, didn't you? Shame on y'all. The second one of this is transcendent means lying beyond ordinary perception. See, that's where God is. You have to meet God by faith and through faith. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. That's being transcendent. I'm believing beyond normal parameters that God does exist. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. It's good to know the word, but you got to know him too. That's being transcendent. It says in, they're listing a certain theory of knowledge here. It says, transcending the Aristotelian categories and experience and hence unknowable. So I can go past what I know into what I don't know. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those whom he calls. And he gives you information that nobody else has. And he takes you places nobody else could go without his help. And he's calling you, this whole house, to be transcendent. Come up a little higher, honey. I've created something better for you, but you must come to me to realize it. It also means being above and independent of the material universe. How many of you have ever read a book called Reese Howell's Man of Prayer? If you haven't, you need to read that. Did you read that? Oh, he was right smack in the middle of the Welsh Revival. And God called him to be a man of prayer. And he got to where he would only eat one meal a day, and it made his mama angry because he was a hard worker and he needed his food. And he said, Mother, I refuse to eat more meals than the people I'm ministering to. He sacrificed for God. He sacrificed for the kingdom. And God began to speak to him to do certain things. Whenever he even went to Africa. He and his wife had a son. And they gave that son to his brother and his wife because they were going to Africa and didn't feel that they could care for him properly down there. But the kingdom of God meant more than being there for the raising of their son. How many of us would do that? And years later, his son would come to him and thank him for being so obedient to God's call. They come back from Africa and God starts talking to him about buying this for their training center and buying this parcel of land and what have you. One of the stories that stood out to me, though, was the Lord spoke to him to go to a certain place in London. And he said, Lord, I don't have the money for the train fare. And the Lord said, go anyway. I'll provide. So he got in line. He literally got in line for the ticket. And he was sitting there waiting in a long line. And he said this guy in front of him just kept fidgeting around. And the train had gotten delayed. And the line, therefore, was delayed. And that man was fidgeting around and complaining that he had some place to be and he needed to go. He thought he might go hire a buggy to take him where he was going. They got up to where Reese Howells was the third man in line. The man in front of him was the next man in line. And he said the man fidgeted one more time and jammed his hands in his pockets, came out with a wad of money, put it in his hands and said, here, I can't wait any longer. I've got to go someplace else. And he had the money for his train ticket. Whenever you're doing what God says, he will He brings provision for the vision that He gives. If you step in and just do it, God will bless you. But the blessing, it goes, that sounds kind of cheap and gauche. He will empower you to do the things that He's called you to do. The underlying and only reason that we will not obey God and do what He asks us to do is selfishness. Didn't expect that one, did you? Because it involves fear on both ends. People fear, they fear failure. What if I fail? Well, you're back where you started. You've lost nothing. Well, and then they fear success. What if I succeed? Then I have to take care of all that stuff. Oh my God, you're the same one that'll buy the scratch off lottery ticket every time you get a paycheck. Don't tell me you don't want to be blessed. It boils down to selfishness. We're so worried about ourself that we won't put ourselves out there. But I seem to remember that we've been bought with a price. I am not my own. Therefore, if He asks me to do something, it is my responsibility to step out and do it. So what if you fall down? She'll tell you, I've fallen down a few times. So I got up, dusted my pants off, patched my knees, and I kept walking. I love what the Word says, a righteous man may fall 1,000 times, but... Remember? But he gets back up. He gets back up. Whew. I'm going to look at my notes now. Because I want to make sure I didn't leave anything out. Because I came with a prophecy for this house and for this man and this woman of God. What did I tell you last time? That the Lord was going to draw you out of the shadows and stand you up and make you very visible and very... Because your gifting was already obvious. But you were holding back too far. Was that what I said? Something along those lines? Did she come on out of the shadows and go to work? Put it up there, girl. I'm proud of that. He did that for this reason. Now, whenever God called Israel to come into the land of Canaan, they were going to have to transcend everything they had ever known. They had been slaves. That's all they knew. The first generation would not transcend. And so he said, all right, how about if you go march circles around that mountain until you cut ruts in the dirt? And then he came to Moses and he said, you've circled this mountain long enough. In other words, you've been walking in circles too long, son. Now I want you to bring all this host of people right back up to the same place you were before. And let's do this again. But Moses strikes the rock, winds up having to go to Mount Nebo and die up there, and the angels disputed with Lucifer over his body and took his body, and he's buried where no one knows now. And Joshua became the new leader with God's stamp on him. There was a reason that Joshua became the leader instead of Caleb or any one of the others that could have led. And it was because of this. The Bible says that when Moses would go to the tent of meeting and talk with God face to face and the presence of God would show up, Joshua was there standing with him. It also says that when Moses would leave, that Joshua would stay. Because the presence of God was addicting to him. And he wanted to hear from God for himself. He wanted to hear the things that Moses was hearing. And he would stay in the presence until it finally drifted away. When God saw that about him, he realized there was a man whose heart could not be tempted to do stupid things against God. And he chose him because he refused to ever try to rebel against Moses or any of the other leaders that were in that era, in that the tribe of Israel. And instead, he walked with Moses every step he went until he was told that he could no longer follow him, that he had to go back and watch the people while Moses went on up the mountain. And God chose him because he not only served the man of God. I've had ministry sons get angry because they served me for a long time and I didn't do something for them that I did for another ministry son. But it wasn't just serving me. Because the question was, I've done this for you for so long, why not me? Well, it had nothing to do with your length of service, man. The other guy, didn't matter how long I was praying or what I was doing in God's presence, he stayed there. He had the heart of God. He had the intent of God. He understood it, and I didn't have to constantly be telling him what to do and when to do it. He was intuitive with the Spirit and with me, and so I didn't have to tell him what to do. And so I did for him what I didn't do for the other. This is why Joshua was chosen, because his heart was so after God that God knew, this is the man that I want, because he knows me. And he knows what I want, and he will do what I ask. To the point that when Achan, who took of the accursed thing, and he found out who it was, even though he was someone that he may have been friends with, he put him, you know, they put their family out there too. And the first thing they did was stoned him to death, and then they took his wife, his sons, his daughters, and they stoned all of them to death. Do you know why? Because that would have become a generational sin, an iniquity, and God was trying to get rid of the iniquity in the land. Again, I need to caution you, as you transcend into this new land this house is going to, don't pass on the inherited rages of your family. Don't pass on the inherited depressions and sick headaches of your family. Don't pass on your ability to control people with your attitude. That is an iniquity, and God is calling us to live a life of purity on the land that He's called us to. And He doesn't want us passing that iniquity on to our children. Let God deliver you. Let God heal you. He will. He will. Do you men that get so upset and you scream and holler at your children and send them running? Now, please don't misunderstand me. A sharp word is sometimes needed. Especially with my first daughter. You had to get her attention because she was very strong-willed. I'm talking about people that are abusive with their language, abusive with their attitude, and abusive in their stance. That's an iniquity. That shouldn't be passed on because it brings knee-jerk reactions in people that were never there before. Don't do that. But instead, let the blood of Jesus cleanse you. And if the mirror of the Word shows you that you're still walking in iniquity, then by all means, get some makeup and wash your face with the Word of God and the blood of Jesus. Let it cleanse you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You don't have to be perfect, but you do need to allow yourself to be in the process of being perfected. Which means if you make a mistake and you go ahead and verbally abuse your children or your wife or your husband. Oh, yeah, I stepped on y'all's toes then, didn't I? Then don't let it ruin your walk with God. Go back to your prayer closet. Father, I apologize. I'm confessing this sin to you, Lord. I don't want it in my life. I'm confessing it to you. Cover me in the blood of Jesus. And help me not to do this when I get up again. Yes, amen. There were some sins in my life that I came to that prayer closet 50 or 60 times. Amen. I'm telling the truth, and it was after I was a preacher.
But he healed me. He healed me. He healed me.
So, my notes are good. I said everything I meant to say. And I need to tell you that you spiritually are in the same position that Israel found herself in when the second generation hit the east side of Jordan. You are stepping into, and I want to speak to you pastors as well, because it's the region. It's not just this church. It's the region. God's calling Christianity as a whole to come up and come through, and he's wanting us to get the attitude of, we can do this. Not only can we do it, why don't you have to hold me back, because I'm going to do it. I love when I have to hold young ministers back and say, hang on a second there, Jethro. Back up a little bit, man. I love your attitude. I love that fork, but let me help you a little bit, you know. Why don't you actually sharpen that sword before you go to use it? But I love the attitude. Get the attitude that, yes, God called us to live beyond the things that are known and step into the unknown, to go into the great unknown, understanding that his knowledge transcends my knowledge, and it's going to take me into a transcendent state of being, which will allow me to walk in the miraculous every day of my ever-loving life. I believe that I'm looking at a house full of miracle workers. This life that you live is not just for when you're at church, but it's for when you're in the grocery store, whenever you're in the powder room with the other ladies. It's whenever you're at school, for those of you that go to school. I used to testify to people at school. I wasn't always the best guy, and they knew it. Amen. But it's like those heads, you know, I mean, talk about Jesus again, man. That was cool. So what keeps you from, when you're at Walmart, or what's the big store around here? HEB, yeah. And a friend that you haven't seen for a couple of years comes by and says, how are you doing? So well, not too good. I just got off my last chemotherapy, and they're saying this cancer might not be gone. And you say, you know what? Why don't we change that? Yeah. And don't tell them to come to church and get prayed for. Right then and there, say, cancer, in the name of Jesus, I bind you to the word of God. This woman's body is fearfully and wonderfully made. And I command that she be no less than fearfully and wonderfully made. In the name of Jesus, let the gift of healing flow into this body. Did that ache all the way up to your shoulder? Get ready now. Get ready now, because I wasn't praying for her body. I was sharing the gift of healing with her. Activating that. So whose left ear keeps feeling like a pin is going into your eardrum? Like it tickles and then it itches and then it hurts. Is that you? Come up here. Because whenever God puts a gift in you, we're going to activate it. Come up here. Now you can heal people with or without oil. I like to use oil, but, you know, you don't have to have it. You got the Word of God in you. Now, is it your left ear? Okay, okay. Well, turn and face this one. Just put your fingers where the Lord shows you. There you go. And speak to him. What's your name, sis? Do it like this. Kelly's ears? I command you to hear me. You were fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You were not designed to hold infection in you. And I command you to start casting it out right now. Now. Now say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to pour the healing oil from your throne into these ears. And then finally say, pain, leave now. You cannot stay in the body of a blood-washed, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. Now stay there, because you're going to feel it move. Like it moved into your hand, it's going to move out. Take a deep breath. Let it out. There you go. It's whenever you feel like it's done. How do they feel? Pretty okay, she said. What I did was called a word of knowledge. The Lord kept making my ear feel like somebody was poking it, and I knew nothing was wrong with my ear. So I knew it had to be somebody else. So that's a word of knowledge. Wow.
And it just wasn't the same anymore. And then since then, like, it's just been downhill from there. Like, I was getting sick. I was in the hospital. And I've been in the hospital, so I just got out.
Well, you're going to come back uphill and balance out in Jesus' name. Is that so? You feel good? All right. Thank you for coming up. I appreciate that. So the reason that I did that was because when you transfer a gift, you have to activate it. So now, you let the Lord lead you, because, and you may have already prayed for people and they've been healed before, but this is a specific gift of healing. So you let it work, which means it can work anytime, just like the gift of the Holy Ghost. I can pray in the Holy Ghost anywhere. I can heal somebody anywhere. It doesn't matter. Hey. So, well, I guess the Lord's moving in word of knowledge. Somebody just felt a rush in your stomach, like adrenaline, and you got short of breath. Who is that? Like, oh my God, is he going to call my name? I know the Lord don't lie. Okay, come on. He used that as an identifying factor. There's nothing wrong with your stomach. It was just, he touched you and it was like, right? Okay, what's your name? Annette. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you pointed this woman out, and you know what's going on with her, and you know what she needs the most and what you want to give her the most. And I'm asking you to speak, Father God, into her life and into her heart. I'm seeing two names. I don't know if they go together, but there's Linda and Beth. And I'm seeing two. Is there anybody that you know that's close to you or that you're concerned about with those names? Okay. I'll pray for him in a minute. The Lord wants to minister specifically to you. What's your name? Annette. Don't fall over unless you can't help it. Is it inner ear problems? What causes that? Oh. On what organ? All right. I'm going to ask my wife to help me. Keep your hand in her back. So come around behind her, because I don't want to touch her in her hips, but I feel like right across this line right there. Yeah. What's your name? Annette, in the name of Jesus. Annette's body, you hear me. I command you to hear me. I command every cell in your body to rise up against the damage that was caused by the radiation. I command for these nerves to begin regrowing. Father God, I've seen you regrow tissue of all kinds. I command for these nerves to begin regrowing. I command for them to be filled with the fluid that needs to be filled for the electrical impulses to go through her body. In Jesus' name, bring your right hand, Penny, down to right. No, there you go, right there. There you go. In Jesus' name, here we go, here it's coming. Take a deep breath. I release that healing into you in Jesus' name. Annette's brain, I command you to begin growing new neural nets and pathways. And I command for you to begin, as you create those, to extend the knowledge that they will bring from her hips and her balance arena to become an entirely new memory bank, so that she will be able to stay balanced, be balanced, stay balanced, and bring her back to 100%, Father, in Jesus' name. I command it. Inotes magende makayo bo savede baronda maleve nakai. Onopone yozom shaveti zoch bagadi. Abu hotala se moton shadai. Arakrokos kojakro goros kojangra kaideke. In Jesus' name. I'm going to have my wife stand directly behind you. There you go. And I want you to do like Joan Hunter taught us, put it right above her hips there. In Jesus' name, I command these hips to come into perfect alignment with the Word of God. I command for the hip sockets connected to this pelvis to be interlocked and perfect the way they're supposed to be. And all of the organs between this hand and this hand, I command for the wind of God to blow through and for the lightning bolts that I'm seeing to heal all of those organs completely. And any damage left over from that be gone, 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 gone. Again, I release that. Holy, holy God. In Jesus' name. Now that's the power of God. That's not a balance issue. That's the power of God. Now, your finances are not what they should be. And you feel sometimes a little bashful about asking God because you know people that need so much more deeply than you do. And I, aside from the Lord telling me, tell her to stop that, I hear him telling me that he really wants to bless you. There's an area, well, it's just a struggle. So put your hands together like this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I command for a new and fresh avenue of income to open to my sister. The reason I'm asking like that, Father, is I want it to be a permanent avenue of income for her in Jesus' name. Not just a splash in the pond blessing, but an increase, Father. I command increase, increase, increase into you, and may your body and your pocketbook be whole by the time you reach November. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Now, I need to continue what I was prophesying because if you will, again, I'm talking about the region, but I'm addressing this church in particular right now. If you will, each of you, as ordinary citizens, will become the catalyst of your community. You have the abilities within you to transcend what you have been, what you have known, and to becoming what you have not been and what you have not known. Young lady, the anointing that you felt today while you were singing is just a drop in the bucket. It's just a drop in the bucket to what's going to move on you. I command you in the Holy Ghost to learn how to stand up under that. I command you in the Holy Ghost to learn how to stand up under that. And if you've got to weep, weep for a minute, dry them off, and get back to ministering in song. Because God wants to use your anointing to break the chains off the people that you are ministering to. I'm not being ugly to you, and I'm not being mean. I'm telling this is the same thing God made me do. Because the Lord used to hit me, and I'd whoo, fall down and pass out. And finally he said, stop doing that. And I said, Lord, I love being in your presence. I love passing out. He said, I know you do. I need to use you. So I learned how to stand up. And I remember the day that I made up my mind I was going to stand up. My uncle, who is my great uncle, who was my great grandfather's only son in ministry. And the only one carrying that anointing that I wanted. I was at a conference and there he was, and the Lord said, ask him to lay hands on you and pass on that anointing. He laid hands on me and it picked me up off of the floor, and I was shaking so hard I thought I would die. And I said, I told myself, I'm standing up. I am getting everything he's got and I am not falling down. And I stood there until he was done praying and staggered back. And from that point, whenever the Lord would begin to move, I almost felt kind of bad, you know. I didn't pass out, you know, God. Guys, powerful prophets come by and lay hands on me, and in the name of Jesus, and they expect me to fall over, and then they look at me like, something wrong with you? No, man. God told me to stand up under this, so that's what I'm telling you. The anoint, what you felt today, drop in the bucket. There's going to be a deluge. God is going to help your voice to mature in ways that voice training could not do for you. And He's going to bring you to a place where you learn how to infuse your vocal cords with the anointing flowing through your body. And you begin to sing, and you're going to begin to learn how to sing with purpose and to sing with intent. And so you're going to learn how to sing healing, or to sing deliverance, or to sing blessing, or to sing prophetically, to prophesy while you're singing. God's going to show you that. Now, I said all of that, and I'm going to qualify it with this. You stay dedicated and you stay humble, because with that kind of gifting, the devil could bring pride along and make you treat other people less than yourself. Don't allow that to happen to you. You stay humble. Learn how to prefer others before you, because when the Lord wants to use you, it doesn't matter who you prefer before you. He's going to pull you out of the crowd. So you let that happen. I am so proud of you guys. The way, man, the ministry that happened, I spent 30 minutes on your family when I was here the last time. But it was so awesome to see you two girls, all three of you, worshiping God and giving Him the best. And God is bringing you out and brought you out of all of that stuff. And you're moving towards becoming the success that He promised you you could be. That is awesome. That is awesome. Are you a college student? Okay. I saw you sitting in one of your classes is like an amphitheater that goes down. Is it built up where you're looking down at the professor? Okay, I see you sitting in one. If you're not in one now, you're going to be. God has picked out a direction for you, and He hasn't told you necessarily what it is yet. But when He does, you're going to know it, and you're going to go there, and it's going to take you places. And He's going to see to it through His personal direction and nothing else, that you are under professors and teachers that people are clamoring to get in with and cannot. He's going to put you under Him because He's got things that He wants you to ingest and to take in. And whenever you hit your full stride in your career, it's going to be a massive blessing to the kingdom of God. So remain a creationist. And don't forget who God is in the middle of all that blessing. Amen. Amen. Brother, I want you to know I was impressed with all of this. You guys are tight, man. I've met two other men in my life that play the drum as well as you. And I almost couldn't help myself when he put that bass down. I almost grabbed it, but I was afraid he'd wring my neck, you know. You guys are tight. I love the jazz, Latin feel that you've got going there. It's awesome, and it's perfect for this house. There, I could tell when you guys started playing, these guys are proud of you. They are proud of you. They're proud of the singers. They love this. And I just want to encourage you, brother. God, you know, nobody ever reaches the pinnacle of where they could go. Let God carry you farther and farther and farther and teach you more and more and more. All three of you, especially this man. And people, you're not going to have to ask people, hey, would you come play the guitar, or would you come play the, you know, the timbales or the congas? They're going to be saying, hey, man, you guys sound awesome. Can I sit in with y'all, man? They're going to be asking you. So don't be looking for people. Let God bring them to you and watch what He does with this. As a matter of fact, I feel the Lord saying the worship and the praise that comes out of this place is going to become songs of your own writing. And I don't know how many you've written already, but I need you to know that God's going to start visiting you in your quiet time, and you're just going to start worshiping and singing and think, hey, I've never heard that song before. I better write that down. And sure enough, it's going to be a new song from the Lord. I hear the Lord saying, new songs, new songs, new songs. It's going to be songs unique to your experience, unique to this house, and unique to the purposes God is speaking into this house and this region. So continue on, my brother. I want to lay hands on you. Father, anoint this young man. Anoint this young man as he is leading this group. I'm asking you to anoint the entire group. And I'm asking you as he begins to write these songs, Father, that they come out of his heart and his experience with you. And let the power of God, Father, cause him to be humble, but also cause him to be powerful. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father, come on him as never before. And I'm asking that for all of these men. Father, as they worship you with the abandon that I saw today, I'm asking that you will increase the anointing not only on them, but increase the anointing that flows through them. Let the power of God, as it flows through these gentlemen, Father God, begin to break chains off of the folks that are sitting in front of them. Just the music itself, Father, it's going to be 10 times as good with singing. But let the music itself be a two-edged sword going out as the musical word of God, dropping the devil in his tracks and breaking the chains off of those that are bound. Father, I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you. You have come through the Jordan. You've come through the covenant. And now God is saying, are you going to give me Jericho? Because you're about to transcend the lives that have been lived in your regions and your areas. Are you going to give him Jericho? Because that means part of you as well. Not just part of your finances, but part of you. The part of you that he wants is probably the one you protect the most. Learn how to release it. Learn how to give it, because you will walk in to an anointing as an entire body. And I'm speaking to you pastors as well. The success that's coming to you guys is beyond your wildest dreams, because you didn't seek success. You just sought to expand the kingdom of God. You just sought to expand the kingdom of God. Brother, you already know this, and so some of the things I prophesy, you're going to know. But God is sending you the rough cut. He's sending you the ones that other people don't want to deal with. He's sending you the ones that some Christians are so offended with that they won't witness to them because they don't want them to be saved. And because you are so deep into the heart of God, you don't care what they've done. You care about their soul. You care about their soul. You don't address what they've done at all. You address their heart and their soul and teach them how to come to a relationship with God. God says because of that and the way that you develop your evangelistic techniques, they will be asking after you, and they'll want to know. Other ministers are going to want to know, brother, how did you do this? How do you win so many people to the Lord? And while you're not going to want to break away from witnessing to tell them how, the Lord's going to require it, because your techniques and your abilities are needed in the kingdom of God. Not only that, your ability to not care about the sin but love the man is needed. And so he's going to call you away from your work for a while, but you'll be able, when you get through ministering to other churches and to other pastors, the Lord's going to let you go back to your candy stick and go back and minister to those guys on the street. So Man, I believe your greatest need at this point, if I'm seeing correctly, is leaders that will stand up and walk with you into the streets. People that don't have to be told what to do, but know what to do and have your back and have your heart. And so that is what I'm speaking for you and into you. Leadership, Father, bring leadership from all walks of life. I'm asking that he have gray-headed elders and fiery-eyed youngsters. I'm asking that he have bikers, ex-gang members, ex-murderers on his team, so that the power of God, as it flows through them, will affect the lives of those that the church has bypassed because we didn't like them. I'm asking you to do that in the name of Jesus. And Father, let this man raise up an army of thousands. Let him raise up an army of thousands. Let him raise up an army of thousands, God. Tattooed, earringed, it doesn't matter. Let him raise up an army of apostles and prophets that will shake the world and turn them on its ear. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.